This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. I love it. I heard you over here. Thank you, Ed and Linda. Thank you so much. And I heard the rest of you as well. She just led it all. So thank you so much for that. Now, this is the day which the Lord has made. We have to choose, are we going to testify or falsify who and what He is? Today's message, to testify or falsify. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to look at testifying or falsifying. See maybe where we fit in. See who we're listening to. See how we can protect ourselves in this day and age. I got a flyer about a special event. And it was going to have prophets and prayer people and all this stuff. And it was up in the northwest of the country. And I thought, how many times do people go to those things and think, are these people testifying or falsifying? Now I hope they're testifying. Well, let's just read. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. And I want to lead with this. I get on the right page. And it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. We've read this before. I've talked about this. Verse 14. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. We've talked about that as well. But I didn't want to start my message without covering that as well, because we have to understand the gate is going to be narrow. It's going to be difficult to find, especially if we're not following Him. But even when we follow Him, it's still narrow and it's difficult to find, because sometimes we have to mutter through stuff. And there are few who find it. But then it goes on in verse 15 through 20. And it says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. But listen to this, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. We have to look at the fruits. And we've talked about that. We've talked about God sometimes says, I've got to prune you. Why? So that you may bear more fruit. He says, hey, you may be bearing fruit, but I have to prune you so that you can bear more fruit. But here it tells us if we're not bearing fruit, we'll be cut down and thrown into the fire. But I want to focus on verse 15. That first word in my Bible says, beware. If somebody tells you you're about to go in someplace and they say, beware, are you going to think twice about going in that place? I would. By the way, here's the doorway. They open the double doors. Wide is the gate. And they open the double doors. And you look in there, and it's dark. Beware. I'm going to think twice about going in there. And I want us to think, As we look at this, and he says, beware. He's giving us a warning. Beware of false prophets. Jesus already knew them, had encountered them, and is warning others about them. You see, they come to you looking good. They come to you sounding good. And the Bible tells us, be careful when all they're doing is tickling your ears. it gets hard to sit through some teaching sometimes. Why? Because it's not entertaining. Hey, I love a good laugh. But sometimes good teaching isn't all about a good laugh. It's about sitting and learning and understanding and then trying to find out how do I apply it. Turn over a few more pages to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus is sitting on the Mount of Olives. He's with His disciples. He's talked to them. He's predicting the destruction of the temple, the end times, the end of age. Now the disciples are asking Him. And they said, "Hey, when will this time come?" Oh, and by the way, people are still asking, "When will this time come?" Now, if people give you a specific time, run. Okay? Because God's Word tells us we don't know the day and the time. But as Jesus is talking to him, Matthew chapter 24, verse 4, Jesus said, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." Have we heard of people coming saying, "I'm the new Christ. I'm Him"? But it says they'll come in my name. And we have to be careful of those people. Beware if you hear someone say that. Verse 6, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars." Listen to this, though. "See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another." Verse 11, "Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." There's a great amount of false prophets that have a great amount of followers. Verse 12, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But listen to this. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Endure till the end, and this gospel will be preached in all the world. That's testifying. That's not falsifying. Veda, your march last week, your victory march, you said, that was testifying. That wasn't falsifying. And I'm not talking about, I got to fake it till I make it. I'm not talking about when someone says, "How are you doing?" "Hey, I'm okay." I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about falsifying who and what God is for your benefit. He tells us here, these people will come in my name. And some will even say, "I am the Christ." If we're not strong in what God's Word says about these people and these times and how to check those, many will follow, and we will become followers. Now, there's many more scriptures than I'm talking about today that talk about false teachers, false prophets, following false gods. I want to talk about, do we have opportunity to testify? I believe it was last week, maybe it was Wednesday night Bible study. And I said, I've had a lot of opportunities recently to talk to people about my faith. And it happens that I stumble into those conversations usually. Usually it's about someone talking about religion or pastors, in which I try and protect them from embarrassing themselves and insert, I'm a pastor. Really? Well, I didn't mean all pastors. You know, it usually starts something like that. Not all pastors are bad. Not all pastors are liars. You know, those type of things. Well, which ones? Because you said all pastors. Oh, you meant like maybe four, you know. I'm talking about testifying. And I'll get to in just a minute how we can do that. Turn in the back of Matthew chapter 24 to verse 23 and 24. And he goes just a little bit further with what he was talking about. And he says, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders. See, even the false prophets and even the false Christ will show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible. But it says, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. He says, you've got to protect yourself. Even you can be drawn into that. I don't want us to be drawn into that. Pastor Eric and I have responsibilities. We'll talk about that in just a minute as well, and what the Scripture says. I don't want him or myself to be drawn into that either. Oh, it doesn't just have to be leaders of mega churches that may fall. It's leaders of middle churches. It's leaders of small churches that fall as well. And we have to protect ourselves. And we have to surround ourselves with good people. And we have to teach good gospel messages. One of my favorite times is each Sunday is Eric and I praying over each other. And we have opportunity to lift one another up and to pray for this body of believers and to pray for our protection against the enemy. When Eric is gone, he'll text me, I have prayed over you in the service today. When I'm gone, I'll text Eric, I've prayed over you in the service today. We continue to pray for each other each week that we are preaching. Protecting ourselves against the evil one. This is another way for our church body to protect ourselves against the evil one. Now, it doesn't have to be us older folks. A small pocket of young people. You guys can be drawn into people that are entertaining. As a younger generation, it may be even tougher, as a matter of fact, because you're drawn into the entertainment value of things a lot of times. We have to keep our young people here, so we have to do things that catch their attention. I hope and pray we catch your attention by preaching the gospel. Because that's what it's all about. Now turn back in 1 John. And it wasn't just Jesus preaching this message of false teachers. And it wasn't just him warning the disciples or the other followers. And remember, Jesus just told us, hey, there's going to be these false teachers, false prophets. and many will follow them. Even some of the elect will be drawn to follow them. 1 John, towards the back of your Bible, 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to read the first 6 verses. And it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit." So again, we have a warning. It doesn't say, beware. But in the words, it says, beware. Do not believe every spirit. Well, how do I know? But test the spirits whether they are of God. Why? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. I don't know where they started from, but they slipped through. And they've gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Now listen carefully. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, one of the things that I don't like, I'm just speaking personally here, is when there's arguments about religion that are get into screaming and yelling and whatever. I thought, I don't have to scream and yell to defend my faith. I'm more than happy to have a conversation, but I don't need to be screaming and yelling. And a lot of times, you guys again will be surprised when I tell you this, but I watch YouTube and I watch different things, and you'll see these people, Christians, out in the middle of some controversial setting. And usually, it is this opposing side that is screaming and yelling and getting angry over this stuff. And I thought, we don't have to be angry about our faith, church. We can be passionate about it. We should be passionate. We can be convicted about it and by it. But man, I don't have to scream and yell. As a matter of fact, I'm just not engaging in any conversation like that. I don't care what it's about. I don't have to engage in that. It tells us in different scriptures, by the way, don't be drawn into those type of confrontations. You can have conversations, but we don't need to be arguing and yelling. I mean, we have arguments, but yelling and screaming and anger, that's not of God. He doesn't want us talking about His love when we're screaming and yelling at people. He doesn't want us talking about His grace, His mercy, and His forgiveness as we are screaming and yelling at people. Now, it's one thing to talk loudly to be heard, but I'm talking about screaming and yelling in anger. God says we shouldn't be angry about these things. Be passionate about it. It tells us in verse 6, we are of God. He who knows God hears us when we speak. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That's how we know when he first started out, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are of God. It's important that we do that, and we know how, and we know what is our gauge. Do I want to testify or falsify? Do I want to be in with those false teachers or the false prophets, the false Christ, claiming to be the Christ? I'd rather testify of His goodness and His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness. How do you do that? Man, you can give a short testimony telling people, here's where I was. I met Christ. Here's what Christ has done for me ever since. When people go through struggles and they've overcome, can those people be used? Absolutely. How and why? Because they can reach somebody in the same situation and say, I was there, but here I stand before you to testify about what God has done for me, what God has done with me, what God has done to me. Not He's piled on riches and made me wealthy. No, God has used me and used my struggles for this purpose. And testifying to those things, I don't want to falsify who and what God is. I don't have to falsify who He is and make up things He did for me if He didn't. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11 says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. How do I protect myself? Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. With what? To make your call and election sure. Why? For if you do these things, you will never stumble. But I love verse 11. If we're being even more diligent, verse 11 says, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm not just slipping in like the thief on the cross in the last minute with nothing to show for myself other than submitting my life to Christ in my last moments. But when I do these things, an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly. You see, we have our life here on earth. It is but a moment. And then we have everlasting life in one of two places, depending on decisions that we've made or not made. But when we go to heaven, there is also rewards and benefits in heaven. When we do these things, an entrance will be supplied even more abundant, a greater entrance into heaven. Now, I don't know if people stand before God and go, uh-oh, here we go, and they're bent over, going, oh, are you going to show me my entire life or just the good stuff, God? I don't know. He may say, I'm not showing you any good stuff. You already know that. I'm showing you all the bad stuff. I don't know. But I picture someone in this setting standing upright. Not filled with pride, but being proud. There's a difference. Taking pride in who and what they were. God, I was even more diligent in making my call and election sure. And I served you in these ways. And standing upright. I don't know what it'll be like. I can only imagine. Will I fall to my knees? You know the song. And what am I going to be doing? Will I be standing there smiling? Will I be jumping up and down with excitement? Will I be so in awe that I fall to my knees before my Savior and my God. And I weep. I don't know. But this makes me think I better be diligent to make sure I know I belong to Him. Because I want that abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what I want, at least. Maybe I just want a parade. I don't know. Will it be like Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem? Oh my God, Adam's here. Let me throw down coats and palm trees. He was diligent. So we've got this great entrance for him. I don't know. But man, it's amazing to think about. You know, I told you, Pastor Eric and I, we have things to testify to as well. And there's opportunity for leaders to testify or falsify. 1 Peter chapter 5, and you can turn there if you want. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 and 4. It's back just a little bit from where you were in 2 Peter, obviously. And it said, "Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." You see, we have responsibilities as pastors and overseers of the church body. And it tells us right after that, and it's talking about younger people, but it's to all of us. "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." But it tells us as well, you know, we talk Wednesday night Bible study about when things come against us, how do we come to God? How do we return to Him? And I believe it was Nick that said, man, you've got to humble yourself. Sounds easy. But I said, we're all the football fans, you know, and we're the guys running around with our football teams with a big flag. The pride of Choctaw, there goes Adam Dilley. The pride of Midwest City, there goes Jim, you know, Jim Murray, whatever. And we run around. I'm not saying Jim's full of pride. I didn't mean that, Jim. I'm just saying that a lot of times we carry those banners that say, I am the pride of my home. I am not being proud of that, but saying I'm prideful. And so humility sometimes takes a back seat. Acts chapter 20. And we'll close with this. It says this, verse 28 and 30. And it says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among you, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among you, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them." And it says, "Therefore, watch." And Jesus said, "Watch and remember, I've told you these things for 3 years." And as overseers, we have to watch out for those coming into the flock. Now, please don't think I'm preaching this message because someone's come into the flock. I'm just, as I've been preparing for this, I try and lay out a few months, and this just happened to be where this one fell. So don't think, Adam, has someone come into our flock we need to be watchful for? Not that I know of, but we do have to be watchful at all times. I'm just saying that we have to be careful of false teachers. I'm saying we have to learn to testify and give testimony to God in His goodness. There's no need for us to falsify anything. And you've got people in the Bible, I mean, they're already talking about that. Jesus is gone, and now here come people falsifying who and what they are in Christ. Who and what God is, what He's done for them. And they're doing it for prideful gain. My question is, do we want to testify to God's goodness and to God's Word, or falsify it? Why? For our selfish, prideful benefit? No. But we understand that by opening this and by studying this and by being prepared and watchful, by the renewing of our minds daily. I think, Michelle, you said that. Daily, we have to come back to Him. And man, it's best to do it in the morning. Because if He was to get my leftovers at the end of a day, sometimes, man, we sat down to watch a show. Hallmark, imagine that. The other night, I wasn't 5 minutes into it and I was out. Oh, I'll just talk to God after we watched the movie. I was out. And when I came back to, Cindy was out. She was gone. She's in bed. I woke up, and where did I go? I went straight to bed. God doesn't deserve our leftovers. He deserves our intentional set-apart time, our intentional set-apart talent, our intentional set-apart finances. He deserves for us to set time and finances in our gifts, our talents, aside for His use and His benefit and His kingdom work. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word today. God, we thank You for reminding us and warning us to be careful and watchful over the enemy. God, help draw us closer to You in Your Word. God, I pray today that we are diligent in making sure of where we stand in the book of life. God, I pray today if we're not sure, that today's the day we make sure. We have opportunity to talk to myself, Pastor Eric, one of the other leaders or pastors in the church. Someone we trust to know, be confident in where we stand. God, I pray as we close service today, You help us just to be swept away in Your presence, in Your love, in Your kindness, in Your generosity. In Jesus' name, amen.